Well, let's go back to 3 John. I'm sticking with this for till I feel we're done. But 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Now, for a number of weeks, I've been sharing along the lines of healing. And we're looking at this verse where it's clearly stating it's God's will that we be healed and that we would prosper, and the two go together. And I had shared with you some weeks ago, and it bears much repetition, and that is that when Adam sinned, there was a threefold curse. First off, God spoke to Satan. He would be separated. He was cast down from heaven. And sin brings death, or spiritual and eternal death. And that was spoken relative to Satan. If we follow Satan, then we partake of his judgment, which is death. The old covenant had no provision for that. That's only provided for in the new covenant, because sin had to be taken out from the spirit of man. So then God could give the gift of righteousness, which is by faith, which would then allow him, or make it possible, to give the Holy Spirit, where God himself come to live in our spirit and continue working in us unto the saving of our soul. Now, secondly, he spoke to Eve that she would have sorrow and childbearing, where there was a curse on the human body. That includes sickness. It includes problems with childbirth and anything relative to the physical man. And the old covenant did bring the provision for healing, or to remove that part of the curse. Now, it's by faith we acknowledge the promise of God for deliverance from whatever that curse would be bringing to us. And then also, as we walk in our side of the covenant, or our responsibility keeping his commandments, then we can walk victoriously by faith over that curse. Then the third part of the curse was, there's a curse on the earth concerning God's provision for man, that Adam would have to toil and labor for it, where in Eden it was just all right there. So that curse is been provided for, victory for us over that curse as well, in that in the old covenant there's promise that he would prosper us coming in, going out, our cattle, everything in the natural concerning provision. So in understanding blessing, we have to understand also with that curse, the cursing, when it came, how it came, and then how God provided to deliver us out from that. So 2/3 were covered under the old covenant, and the spiritual blessing is only covered by way of the work of Jesus Christ in the new covenant. Again, this bears much repetition, because there's a lot of confusion in the body of Christ, people thinking, oh, the old covenant's irrelevant. That is an ignorant man or woman talking to you, if you listen to them saying that. I would recommend don't listen to a teacher that says those things, because they really don't know the Word of God like they think they know it. Or they would never say something like that. The old covenant never provided for spiritual blessing. Okay, it wasn't able to, because only the blood of the Son of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, could pay the price and redeem us and make the way then, after his ascension to the right hand of the Father, to send the Holy Spirit. So that all needs to be repeated and said continually, that we can really wrap our mind around 3 John verse 2, that God's desire, his will, is to prosper you and for you to be in health. Because you need those things to function successfully on planet Earth. Now, he says here, even as thy soul prospers, or the prosperity, the health and prosperity is according to something. Even as, it's the word kata in the Greek, which is also translated according to. It's according to your soul prospering. Now, when you understand this, then you would make it a priority to prosper in your soul first, knowing that that's going to spill over to the physical man, and all blessings that you would need. If you could say, "Well, I need to have a car, but it's going to take money to buy the car, so therefore you have to get the money before you try to get the car." So in order to, if the health and prosperity is according to prospering in your soul, then your pursuit or your priority needs to be to prosper in the soul, so then you would have what you need to spill over into those other areas of your life. Or in many cases, to know how to walk or what to believe, how to handle yourself, that all plays into it. Now, a verse that corresponds when Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be added to you." So it's speaking really the prosperity of the soul comes first. Seek that first, and then God will lead and guide you in the other things. You'll have the wisdom of God, the knowledge, the understanding to walk out the other areas. If we're prospering in our soul, we should continue to grow in our understanding of all things, our knowledge of God, our knowledge of whatever we would be dealing with, whatever knowledge we would need. Just like if someone's 16 and they can't wait, say it's a young man, they can't wait to get some wheels and get a car, and they don't learn anything about it, and they never change the oil, what's going to happen? That engine's going to break down. Now, is it a bad car? No, it's because they didn't have the knowledge how to take care of it. So in pursuing attaining anything, we need to have the understanding to maintain it, the understanding of how to treat it, the understanding of its purpose and its value, and then we can handle it rightly. So it's that way with anything. If someone wants to have a wife or a husband, well, they need to understand God's purpose and intent in the marriage. They understand that and understand the other person. You know, you'll hear people say, well, you never understand women. Well, have you tried? Have you sought the Lord? God created the woman. God created the man. You know, women can feel the same way. Men, you know, bunch of nuts. But God created them. He understands them. So if we'll seek him, we can know how to treat not just a man or a woman, but that man and that woman. What is it that they need? And that's a kind of a secret to ministry, is to hear from God what that person specifically needs. The thing that human nature tends to do is just talk what you know. That's not ministry. That's just you. Just talking what you know. We need to really be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What do they need to hear? That's that word in due season. And how does it say it in Proverbs? Like pictures, apples of gold and pictures of silver, something to that effect. And learning that the exact thing needs to be ministered. Now, as you know someone really well, now we've been married 44 years. Don and I know each other very, very well. Many times we could just come into the presence of the other person and know, well, something's wrong, or they need to hear this or need to hear that. But all that being said, there's times I don't know, or times she doesn't know. You're not in that awareness of everything about another person. But if we're listening to the Spirit of God and open to him, we can receive that from him, and you really prosper in the marriage. So the principle of prosperity works the same in everything. You know, we understand what God intended, the value, his purpose. We understand how he created something to work. We continue to grow in that wisdom. But if you just remain, this is how I am, this is how I think, you know, so all about you, you won't get that knowledge, and you always have struggles in every area that rolls over into. It doesn't have to be like that for us. As we grow, mature, and get older, we should be growing in knowledge, understanding, wisdom of all things. Now, you have the basics of life, like your health, financially, material realm. But then there's the relational realm, which gets even more complicated. Sometimes people think, well, I have plenty of money. I'm a real successful person. Well, you might be in that area, but are you with the relationships of your life? Are you with the fruitfulness of your life? You know, we want to look at everything that God has for us and seek Him relative to that. And part of growing and maturing is whatever is a part of your life, you seek God to that, and you don't just go off half-cocked, well, I know what to do. I mean, that's just a voice of pride. I know what to do. And regardless if you've had a good example, maybe a parent or someone, regardless of that, we still need to seek the Lord to find His will in the matter. So the health, prosperity, successful relationships, the work of your life, it's all according to something, your soul prospering. So as believers, that should be a priority in our life. But if we're more natural conscious and don't really understand how it's going to work, the seeking God in His Word might be the last thing you do. Well, if I have enough time, I don't fall asleep first at night. I think it's wise. It's not a law, but it's wise first thing in the morning to be seeking the Lord, pray in the Spirit, read His Word. Now, that doesn't mean like 2 in the afternoon or something's going to pop up and you don't know, okay? But it's good to start your day that way and end it in faith. Pray, release faith before you go to sleep. Sleep in peace. Get up and just be before the Lord that your soul prosper. And sometimes people just do not discipline themselves, period. Don't ever justify that. Repent of it. We have to be disciplined. And again, ignorant teachers will portray discipline as legalism. Again, that's an ignorant person. Don't listen to them. They are not going to help you. We have to discipline ourselves in our thoughts, our words, the use of our time, the manner in which we live our life. Discipline's a good thing. If you're not disciplined, then things like emotions and needs and the voice of whoever and whatever is going to begin to rule your life. So as our soul prospers, he says, I have rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even as you walk in truth. You know what truth is in you according to what you're walking in. To know what's in you, you can look at your walk or your actions. Now, I think I mentioned last week, Brother Cole used to say, many people will judge others by their actions and themselves by their intentions. Well, I meant to do well, but you said and did this. But I meant to do well. I'm not accountable. I meant to do well. We need to be honest with ourselves and look at what we do, understanding that shows what's in us, good or bad. You can be encouraged knowing that the truth is working in you, just see you're walking in it. You know, when you are around other people and you, as someone that you would have a care or a love for, and you see them walk in truth, that blesses you, just stirs your heart. I guess it was a week ago when our granddaughters were with us. Donna told them it was time to go because a certain time we try to have them home by. And Sophie's out in the car, like, where's Marissa? Where's Marissa? And what turns out, she's in front of the house pulling weeds out of the flower garden, wanting to help her grandma. Now, for us, that really blessed us because that's truth working in that little girl. Well, she's not so little anymore. She's 13. But that just popped into my mind as an example. When you love someone, anything that shows truth working in them, especially a young person, you rejoice. Like, praise God. You know, a lot of times you have to, like, take a whip and force kids. Well, okay, you got to go out and pull some weeds, and then you can go play. But before she's going to go home, she saw the weed there. She knew Grandma likes to keep, you know, her flowers nice and all that. And before she comes and gets in the car, yeah, and she didn't even know where she was. Like, what happened to Marissa? Oh, she's behind the bushes pulling weeds. That's truth, walking in some, working in someone. That's just a simple example. You want to encourage that, especially in a young person, encourage them in that. But see, something went into her spirit somewhere. That's called loving Grandma. You know, when you're selfish, you think, well, I want to get home and play. I want to home, you know, watch this video or something, whatever. But love said, oh, there's a weed. I can help Grandma. There's some weeds. So you'll know the truth in someone by what you're walking in, what you do, especially when you don't have to be told. That's when you really know. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Again, when you're putting out to others, it brings great joy when you see what they're walking in. It's good, you know, you rejoice that they're hearing it, but you don't always know. Sometimes people are hearing things, and you don't know if they're really hearing it or not. But you see them walk in it, and you know they heard it. And kids are like that. I know I've talked to many people who've taught children's church already who say, well, sometimes you don't know if they're listening or not. And then something will come out of their mouth that, you know, they heard what you said. And it blesses you because they're acting upon it. They've heard that word. So John rejoices in hearing that they're walking in truth. Beloved, thou you do faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren and the strangers which have borne witness of your charity. Now, if you're walking in love, people will know about it, and people will bear witness to that love walk, to that giving. And he mentions that here. He says, I've heard about what you're walking in. It's come back to me. Or your testimony before other people will speak of what's working in you. You know, if everybody around you has nothing but evil to say about you, that's not a good thing. Yeah, you might want to question what you're walking in. Now, there are those who simply have a critical spirit who are yielded to devils who would want to tear you down. I'm not talking about that. But do people around you, do they speak of, you know, your faithfulness, your giving, your positivity, encouragement? You know, what do you hear spoken about you? When it speaks of leadership in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it speaks there about having good reputation amongst the world. You know, they should see the fruit of our life. We need to be very conscious. What am I representing? What am I representing to them? Okay, so I want to proceed on some new turf here in Scripture and go to Joshua chapter 1, which I mentioned this once before, but I want to hit on this again. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, Moses had died or gone on to be with the Lord, and Joshua was already commissioned. He would be the one stepping into this. But he's stepping into some pretty big sandals here, and he has a huge challenge before him that he is called to lead the people into the promised land and to conquer all the enemies and to divide out the inheritance among people who may have been tempted to want to fight over who gets what land or be greedy. You know, he had a lot on his plate, but it begins with conquering these enemies and then having the leadership to where the people are going to follow him. Because you can be a great leader. It doesn't mean anybody's going to follow you if they have rebellion in their heart. And the people, they were so sick and tired of 40 years in the wilderness, they said, anybody who rebels will kill them. That's the end of chapter 1. I find that interesting. Yeah, they don't want anybody messing this up because their forefathers, because of their unbelief, kept them out of the promised land and are wandering around for 40 years. However, in spite of all that, God still brought manna from heaven and supernatural provision for them, even though they weren't in his best. Now, let me just point something out here. Just because God's moving in your life, that doesn't mean everything's being done right in your life. That's an error sometimes people make. Well, God used me. I guess that means I'm right. I've heard some preachers say that already. And I think, oh, my God, you're in trouble. I'm talking about, I don't mean like trouble, you're going to get punished trouble. I mean you're deceived in trouble. Well, and some people think, well, you know, I have all my bills paid. I guess everything's right. Or, look, I'm a picture of health. Everything's right. That's not true at all. And just because you take like the Corinthian church, chapter 1, he said, you come behind in no gift. But you're a bunch of babies. You got envy and strife and division among you. So even though they were walking as babies, they still yielded to the Holy Spirit and he used them. So you cannot take God using you to like vouch for, verify that everything's correct in your life. There's something that's working there, but that's not like something that just says everything's fine. Well, here you have Joshua leading a people who they're still receiving those miracles. And they rejected the unbelief and rebellion of their forefathers. They say, you know, if anybody rebels, we'll kill them. So Joshua had a little something to work with there, but it was very intimidating for him. And God said more than once here, he said, I'll be with you. Be strong, be courageous. Don't be dismayed by what you're going to see, what you're going to run into. I'm with you. That's bottom line, knowing he's with us. But in order to walk out what he has, there was a part or an instruction specifically to Joshua. Now, I want to bring a clarity here. He says, be strong, be courageous. But to walk this out, it's going to require the discipline of the soul or the prosperity of the soul, which is going to come by you meditating upon the Word of God. Meditate. To meditate means to speak to yourself. Every now and then, you know, Dawn will be talking to herself, and I think she's talking to me. She's just not talking loud enough. I say, what? And so I was talking to myself. And when you're doing that, it's usually because there's something she's trying to do, and remember the steps in the process. We all probably do that somewhat. Okay, I'm not picking on her. We all do that at times. And actually, it's a good thing. It's something you need to develop in your life where you are speaking to yourself, meditating on certain things. Now, when we hear the word meditate, we tend to think of like Buddhism, somebody just sitting there, you know, with their position, yoga, whatever. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Meditating is what you're dwelling upon in your thoughts, and you're incorporating with it your words, because your words carry power. The seeds are planted by words. We have the parable of the sower. So we can plant seeds of unbelief and doubt, seeds of feelings. I feel mad, you know, I feel this or that. You can be planting that, and then you end up with a harvest you might not like. Or we can plant the Word of God, what God says about us, and have that as our harvest. Jesus was very plain and clear in saying, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, how do you have something in abundance? It's what you're meditating upon. Now, we have devices to help us with recorded music and video and all the rest. So we should be even stronger. It's interesting, with all the devices, I find many, many people become lazy. Like, we have devices to communicate. It's unbelievable. Where you go back 40 years, it was very common. You hand wrote a note. And you have whole businesses like greeting cards and things like that to help. Maybe there's a picture on there that expressed something. Or maybe even get a card that has something inside. But people would learn to write and communicate in that way. And you would have to fill out an envelope, get a stamp, and do all of that. And now, you know, like with, say, a text, it's like tap, 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 boop, there it goes. How simple is it? And one of the real pet peeves that my wife has is people never checking the communication device. It's so easy. It's like this. There, you just saw the message. That quick, that easy. Yet people don't do it. What are they doing? Now, maybe you rarely ever get a message from anyone, and that's why you don't look. We communicate a lot with a lot of people. So we constantly are checking our phone. Not that we're addicted or anything, but there might be something we need to hear and know. It's important. It's time sensitive. Sometimes I don't respond right away because I don't have an answer. I want to think about it. That's different. But I'm just saying, we have the capacity to communicate in a greater way than ever before. So if we don't, there's really no excuse in that way. Now, maybe there's an excuse that there's such a demand on you, you haven't had time to stop. Okay, I'm not discounting that. That occurs a lot. But I'm just trying to illustrate for us here that the ability to communicate has increased. Well, the capacity for your meditation to be godly is increased. You know, in recent times, since I've been more at home and not physically moving about and doing that much, I meditate more than I ever have. And I listen to a lot of worship music. Jared put on my iPad ALC worship songs. I think it's about 10, 12 hours worth of music. I hear that the whole way through every day. And one of the cool things is, on this version of the iPad, you can hit shuffle, so you don't play them all in the same order. But I'll hear them all. And these things are just rolling around in my spirit all the time. Because I'm listening to it all the time. Every day, if I'm awake at night, that's playing. And, you know, you could turn on a horror movie or sports or whatever else, and it's not necessarily evil, but it's not productive. It says in Ephesians 4, let no worthless or vain words, worthless words come out of your mouth, but that which minister grace to the hearer. You hear everything you say. That's why it's so important. You're speaking to yourself the word, which is what meditation is, what that means. Because you're ministering grace or godly influence to your own spirit. If we won't minister and fill ourselves up, do we really think, and being honest, am I really going to minister much to anybody else? If I can't even see I need to do that for myself. You'll be very careless about your words to other people. Not thinking about whether you're hurting them, you're giving them something to deal with, or you're being a blessing to them. So we consider, and when I was sharing at the men's retreat, I was talking about speaking like a man. Children speak not having thought about, they don't think about the effect of what they're going to say. They just say whatever pops into their head. So you could have a four-year-old child, a five-year-old say, I hate you. Because that's the emotion they're feeling. They just blurt it out. Or you take the three-year-old in a grocery store and they wheel them past somebody and they say, you're ugly. And you're embarrassed, you know, because Well, I didn't teach them to say that, but they're to say what comes to their mind. That's part of childishness. Now, you could be 70 years old and still speak as a child. You just say whatever comes to your mind. You justify it. Well, I'm just being honest. No, you're being a child. That's what you're being. Foolish child. Because in the wisdom of God, you consider everything you say and everything you do, what's it going to cause? What kind of effects it going to have? Especially on people around you. But also for yourself. All you say and do is going to have an effect for you. Certain things we might say and do bring unbelief to our own heart or can put you into fear. And you just can't go there. Now, that's not to say we walk in denial, but we need to stay built up. There are many, like if you were to be prescribed a medication, and you see on the paper, I was going to say on the bottle, but there's too many things to put on those little bottles. Yeah, there's a paper, all these side effects. If you read over that over and over, you'd be afraid to take it. Okay, I want some help, but this stuff here is going to kill me. You could begin to think that. So if you're, whatever you're taking in like that, that information, you need to have that balanced or offset by the Word of God. So therefore, the more you're encountering the knowledge of evil or danger, you have to increase the meditation of who God is to you, what He says to you, what His promises are to you. We need to increase that. One of the things that I love with the worship songs that we do is a constant declaration throughout of who He is, what He said to us, and what we have in Him. And therefore, we glorify Him for all of that, for being who He is. You know, you love somebody for who they are. You thank them for what they do. If you only love someone for what they do, then when you're not conscious of them doing it, you'll forget about them. Or you won't have that love for them. You love someone for who they are. You love God because He is God. He is your Creator. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. Thank God for all the good stuff He does for us. But if you don't know who He is, you won't really have a love for Him, which brings a giving of your life, a giving of yourself. Well, here, back with Joshua, meditate day and night that you can observe to do. So we have to keep our mind renewed. Now, I find this principle works with everything. Like, there's different times in my life I've changed my diet, adjusted certain ways, and more recently because of a diabetes diagnosis, I greatly restrict carbs and eat almost no sugar and very, very little. And I'm fine. I don't have to take any medicines or anything, no insulin, no nothing like that. And my sugar's fine. It's just a discipline. But you see, if I don't keep my mind renewed, I could easily forget. And we're going to have a meal here afterwards and say there's a piece of cheesecake or, well, I don't know if that's that bad for me. But something that would, like brownies or something like that. If I forget and I see that, I could think, oh, I like a piece of that. And just begin to do that and then lose the discipline. And then my sugar level's jacked because of what I did, not a devil. Not everything is a devil. A lot of, probably more of it's you than the devil. But I would enter into that because that's something I did for years and years and years. And, but there's a discipline. But I find for myself, I have to keep my mind renewed on that. So I'll read over things now and then and continue to talk about those things. What's a part of my life? What I want to be a part of my life, I'll talk about. Not for the purpose of talking about myself. So I need to hear myself say it. I like to say the truth that I'm trying to live by. So if somebody is interested in hearing it, I'll gladly talk about it because it benefits me. it might benefit you, but whether it benefits you or not, it helps me to hear myself talk about it. And that's part of having a good friend, or in friendship, you share the things that are part of your life. I kind of have to laugh because, you know, we've encountered a lot of nurses and doctors and technicians and stuff. And I look for opportunities to share with them. And sometimes I'll go off on a tangent about my history. Or I might tell certain stories. And Donna's heard them all about 100, 500 times. She can recite them. And I say, I'm saying this for my own. I need to hear myself say this, and I want them to know where I'm coming from, so they can understand me. If they're going to work with me, they need to understand this. So they might ask the question. I don't just bulldoze after them. They ask the question, well, you know, what's your history of this or that? Well, now that you ask, I'll tell you. I'll start going through. Yeah, she'll be ribbing me in the elbow like, yeah, you're taking a lot of time up here. It's like they ask. You ask, better be willing to listen. And I'll gladly tell. Shut me down if I'm talking too long. It's okay. Well, part of friendship, you know all the stories. You can probably tell my stories better than me sometimes. You know, sure remember all the details. Yeah, I might, oh yeah, that's right. So that was the most important part. Well, I forgot. But, you continue to speak those things. To speak what's a part of you. And that's part of like the meditation concept. You're continuing to speak that which is a part of your life. Now, the very source, the very root of all good things in our life is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we should be inclined to want to talk about him. For someone to never talk about him or what he does or who he is to him, that's alarming. That's concerning to me. As someone's, you know, thinking they're a Christian and they never want to talk about him. Now, maybe they don't know how. Sometimes people have difficulty that they're still developing with communication. Or maybe they're afraid, you know, how they're going to come across or what have you. You know, you have other issues like that. But it should be a desire and a norm to want to fellowship that which is a part of you. You know, so that all begins to proceed from we meditate upon the word, upon the truth. We continue speaking it to ourselves, and it spills right over to speaking that to those who are closer to us. That's part of the essence of friendship. If you have children, that you just speak of those things to your children. And that's Deuteronomy 6 in action. When you get up, when you lie down, when you walk, by the way, you're talking your meditation. You're speaking that. And that becomes something they hear, and it becomes the abundance in their heart. And they'll learn to speak in the same manner. Well, this is all key to the prosperity of our soul, which will translate into all other areas of our life. So to be blessed in all areas, it comes by first applying ourselves to the Word of God, to prosper in our soul, to have the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom to properly look at and address and interact with and deal with any area of life. Now, again, the older you are, you should have more wisdom. But some people are just old fools. But you should have more wisdom. That's dependent on whether we will seek him and pursue after the truth, and then to meditate, not just know it in our head, not to say, yeah, I know. But we keep it alive in our heart so we can walk in it. If you don't keep it alive in you, you won't walk in it. And again, you know, as illustrating like with diet, it's very easy to see that there, because there is a certain power of the desire of the flesh that will move you. Cheesecake, you know, there's a certain power to the flesh, and we have to restrain our flesh and not just not do wrong. See, you don't ever get victory by trying to not do wrong. That's one of my complaints with like Alcoholics Anonymous and things like that. Their goal is to not drink. If you do right, you won't do wrong. Galatians 5:17 says, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Learn to do right. The more you're doing the right thing, the things that are wrong will drop off. They have no place. It's like you keep your house clean so you don't attract a bunch of ants. You don't let crumbs all over the floor. And then wonder why you have ants. If you just clean the house, then you won't have a problem with the ants. Or you won't have rodents or whatever else. Do right, you won't do wrong. Meditate the word. And you do meditate something all the time. Some people, they're meditating on sex all the time. Or how they're going to get money. Or worldly pleasures of some sort. That's what rolls through their head the majority of the time. Again, you judge yourself, not your brother, not your sister, but judge yourself. What is it that is in abundance in my thoughts, in my mind? And you'll find if you evaluate, if you listen, it comes out of your mouth. Or it'll become a pursuit in the natural. You know your desire according to what you pursue. I remember Brother Mike Murdoch sharing that. Made such an impression upon me as a revelation. You'll know your desires according to what you pursue. You do pursue what you want. Now, there's times the Spirit of God restrains us from pursuing something we shouldn't have, but you'll be very, very aware, and without the power of God working and the pursuit of the right thing. Because if you just try not to do wrong, eventually you'll get weak and do wrong. But we refocus ourselves to pursue God, to pursue His will, to stay strong in meditating upon His word, and we're going to walk that out. So we're talking about, I think, the fifth week in a row now, the prosperity of the soul and how that will transfer over to all areas and give us victory over the threefold curse, which is spiritual death, separation from God, things relative to the human body, like sickness or whatever, and then also a material blessing or lack would be the opposite. And these were the curses that came when Adam fell.